tape projection.
Welcome everybody to Taking On Sports. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, how you doing today?
I am good. How are you today, sir?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Springtime has come to Birmingham for now, at least. Yeah, let's kick things off as we usually do with our guys in crimson. Up and down week again for Alabama. Hard fought road victory earlier in the week at Oxford against Ole Miss. Had to come from behind, slow start, which was a little surprising given that they got, you know, the whooping they took at Kentucky last weekend. You figured they might want to come out on fire, but they didn't. But fought hard, and I saw a crazy stat on that. You know, they were down, what was it, like 5 points or whatever with 5 minutes to go, or maybe 10 points with 5 minutes to go in the first half. Yeah. And from that point on, so the last 25 minutes of the gameplay, they scored 80 points. It's crazy. Yeah. It shows the explosiveness of the offense, the Alabama offense. And then last night, a little bit of a different story, a tough loss at home to Tennessee. A hard-fought game. They went on a 12-0 run in the first half and take a one-point lead in the into the locker room, but they came out really cold. I think missed 11 of their first 12 shots. Only made two threes the entire second half. It was just a tough loss. They needed that kind of extra edge against a team the quality of Tennessee, and they just couldn't find it. So what do you make of this week's results, Greg?
Well, you know, like you said, man, that second half in Oxford was epic. I mean, where we put up 60 some points. I mean, we're down with 4 at halftime and just totally took over the second half. Obviously, whatever Nate Oates told him in the locker room definitely worked, because they put in work in that second half. Man, last night, though, you know, it's frustrating. I mean, it was a game of runs. I mean, you know, Tennessee got out to a, you know, pretty quick lead there. Then we, you know, bounced back, went on a nice run at the end of the first half to go up 2 at the half. And, you know, we had a couple, you know, back and forth runs. We go up in the second half. They'd hit it. Unfortunately, their run at the end kind of put us out the game there. You know, it was a bad shooting night. Crazy thing is, it really wasn't the defense that kept us out of the game. I thought last night the defense actually, you know, as bad as it was the week prior, I mean, they you know, held their own. I thought, you know, they, you know, held one of the better players in America with 13 points last night in Connect. The shooting was bad. You know, Tennessee just seemed to, every loose ball and every, you know, a lot of loose balls, Tennessee got there quicker. And they just, and then a lot of second chance points as well there. But the effort was there. You know, honestly, I think right now, you know, Tennessee just, unfortunately, a better team than us, top to bottom, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what it came down to ultimately, is Tennessee is a Final Four caliber team.
Right.
They could still snatch a one seed if, you know, like, mm-hmm. say Arizona loses above them and they finish off and win the SEC regular season in the tournament. But they just have that one extra edge that Tide couldn't find last night. And they did, you mentioned they played well defensively. Dalton Connect, they held him to what, like 5 of 14 shooting. It just didn't happen.
Right. I mean, they definitely had opportunity to win. You know, we were up, and then, you know, the last, what, 7-8 minutes of the game where we have, like, 2 field goals, like, it was, like, we just,
yeah,
I don't know.
It was rough.
It was definitely rough. The shooting was definitely off. We definitely miss Rand Nelson's presence just because of the, you know, he was in foul trouble a lot. And then, You know, some of the guys that have been a thorn in our side at times for a while there, I mean, Zakai Ziegler, I mean, he had a big night. I swear he's been at Tennessee for like 20 years. hey, man, what's that other guy? I can't even think of his name right now. Seemed like he's been there. He had some big rebounds and stuff last night. I can't even think of his name right now.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Santiago Vesco. Yeah, he had some big buckets. So, you know, it's a disappointing loss, but at the same time, we still have a lot to play for, a lot going on. I mean, obviously, still a big week coming up because you want to stay at the 2 seed. I mean, currently at the 2 seed, a big game Tuesday night on the road in Gainesville. So, I mean, we have been very good on the road. You know, a lot of our quality games against, you know, decent opponents, we've been blown out, unfortunately. So hopefully we see something different there Tuesday. And then, of course, closing out Saturday against Arkansas, who's had just a horrible season. But, you know, you'd hope that we could win both of those just so we can stay at that 2 seed. One play to what, Friday then in the SEC tournament. So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously we're going to get the double bye regardless, but I'd much rather be there too than move down any more there. So, unless crazy things happen, we're not going to win the SEC again, unfortunately. And we had our chance there. And it was an epic crowd. I mean, the crowd really showed up last night. The atmosphere seemed great. Just sadly came up short. Doesn't happen very much for us in Tuscaloosa. I mean, we're a solid home team, so disappointing loss.
First home league loss in, 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
Like you said, a tough loss, disappointing loss. Nothing to hang your head about, though. You had your chances. Playing without Grant Nelson the last, 6-7 minutes was rough.
Yeah.
As per usual in college basketball, the refs, you know, made sure everyone heard their whistles. I think there were 44 fouls called in that game last night. 54 free throws shot by the teams. It's a little too much. And a lot of those fouls, they were pretty ticky-tacky. Both ways a little bit too, but it did seem that we didn't get the home cooking that you would expect.
You would hope we get in there, but doesn't seem very new. I mean, that seems to have happened quite a lot to Alabama, honestly. I don't think we get the respect that maybe we should at this point. I would say the biggest bright spot I saw last night was Nick Pringle had a great game. Mm-hmm.
I was just about to mention him.
With the rebounds, you know, he got his ugly points. But, I mean, he, you know, got to the free throw line a lot late. He was grabbing rebounds, being physical. Man, if we could get that Nick Pringle for the rest of the season, that would be great.
That's huge, yeah. Huge present to have inside. He was battling. You know, one thing we didn't mention, for whatever reason, a lot of those 50-50 balls just did not end up in our hands. And we were trying. It was just the ball was not bouncing.
No, they got Alabama's favor. Every loose ball, they seem to come up, and then they would hit a big shot. Kick out. My God.
And that's what championship teams do. In Tennessee right now looks like one of the favorites to, you know, make a run to the Final Four, much as we hate it. tough to take the sweep on the year from a rival like that. Of course, not as big as a basketball rivalry as it is on the gridiron, but still. But maybe you'll see him again in the SEC tournament, or maybe you see him in the NCAA tournament.
Right, who knows? But we still
have a chance. Yeah,
have a lot to play for. But
you can't slow down, can't slip up now because you don't want to mess around. And I think there still is a slight chance we could even drop out of the double bye. in the SEC tournament if we – I think we'd probably have to lose both of our games. Yeah, but – and there's a slight chance that we could still win the SEC. Tennessee would need to lose both their games this week, and it's not out of the realm of possibility. They play at South Carolina Wednesday, and then next Saturday they host Kentucky. So those two tough games right there.
Those are two definitely tough games. South Carolina, you know, got a big win yesterday at home, or came back against the Gators. I mean, they have a good atmosphere going for them, but I don't know. Tennessee's just tough right now.
It is, yeah. And South Carolina, another tough week. You know, they host Tennessee, then they turn around and end their season at State, which is always a tricky trip to Starkville.
Yeah,
the other contenders this week, let's see. So, that you know, South Carolina's in third. Kentucky, so, you know, right now it's Tennessee at first, 13-3. Bama and South Carolina, 2-3 at 12-4. And then you got Kentucky and Auburn at 11-5. This week, let's see, a few Tuesday games this week. Auburn goes to Missouri, so winless Missouri. You should
be fine.
Yeah, should be fine. You lose there, then that's not good. Kentucky hosts Vanderbilt Wednesday, so again, that's something. Yeah, they should win that. And then Saturday, you know, we mentioned South Carolina goes to State. We mentioned Kentucky goes to Knoxville. Auburn hosts Georgia. So, again, those two winnable games for the Tigers as they try to get on that double bye train. Of course, Alabama ends after that Tuesday trip to Gainesville. They end in Coleman next Saturday hosting Arkansas, a very winnable game.
Definitely. It'll be senior day for Mark Sears and Grant Nelson. And so you'd hope that they would come out and get the big win there. It's an early one, but this Arkansas team, man, they are bad.
Yeah, they've struggled. I have not played them yet this year, have we? No.
No, it would be the first time.
Yeah, surprisingly, but no, yeah. Not a good Heisman team. And is... Do know you have Sears, but did I read somewhere that Sears actually might have another?
Does he have another one?
Because of the COVID year, I'm not sure if that's something that him or even Nelson or somebody. I don't know. You know, all these. It's so hard to keep track of now, but that would definitely be talk about a boost for next year.
If he wanted to stay, but you know, I'm sure. I mean, I don't know if his stock will ever get higher than what it has been this year. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what his NBA prospect could look like necessarily, but if he's ever wanted to go to the league, this is the time to go because he's put on quite the season now.
Yeah, and he definitely – it seems like he just won't win SEC Player of the Year, but damn it, he should. If not, he absolutely – deserves every first team honor he gets. Put him on the All-American team, y'all, like third team, whatever. I don't know how many All-American teams there are, but
there's at least three. He definitely deserves one of them. Probably not first team, but second or third, most definitely. I mean, he's had an epic season for sure. I was over 20 a game there. Leader of the team. You know, transition from last year, I mean, he was good, but I mean, just with what his role was last year, you weren't sure if he was going to be able to become the guy that he's become. And man, he's well overachieved at what I thought his season was going to be coming into the season. So,
want to mention too before we get off of Bama, what a week for Davin Cosby Jr.
Man, was it? Yeah,
coming out party against Ole Miss, hit 5 threes, and he has just got the green light to pull that trigger. And he is a guy that kind of stepped up in the absence of Latrell Wrightsell. And if he can keep getting minutes, even when Wrightsell hopefully returns, That could be huge addition to the team. And speaking of Reitzel too, it's very, his presence definitely missed.
For sure.
So you hope he can get back. And then, yeah, looking at all these guys on our roster for senior day next week, it's Nelson Pringle, Sharnowski, bench guy, Estrada, Sears, and Reitzel. So not sure which of those guys still have, COVID year eligibility left. Would love to see, basically all of those names return.
And you would love it because the crazy thing is, we have a lot of new faces and a lot of talent coming into Tuscaloosa next year. Mm-hmm. It's basically a whole new team again there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd That's like crazy. To keep as much consistency as possible. You got, of course, just quickly looking ahead, it's guys like Diabate, Stevenson, Wagyu, Sam Walters, Cosby, mentioned, Ryland Griffin, there's plenty of plenty of guys. Yeah, plenty of talent.
And all the recruiting that Nate's done, what do we have, two McDonald's All-Americans coming? Like, we should have a very talented team next year, but a lot of young guys, so be interested to see who steps up there.
Bracketology, I do believe I saw that the loss dropped Alabama down to the 4 seed line. Unfortunate, but hey, time to win your way back to a 3 seed, maybe. Right. And then let's see, elsewhere around the country, a couple of other big games yesterday. Baylor beat Kansas, Creighton beat Marquette. It just kind of goes just more of what we've talked about all year. There is no clear-cut number one team.
Right. For sure.
There's a few top teams, but even they're susceptible. Kansas and Marquette are considered two of the top teams in the country, and they both went down. So it's going to be a really fun March of basketball, man.
Is it?
I mean, even those, even your like your top three, say, teams that are, your UConn's, your Purdue,
Arizona,
yeah, Houston. They're great. They're winning. Houston had a big win yesterday.
Yeah,
tough.
They're all beatable, though. I mean, there's no one like me.
You can get them. Everyone's there to be got. It's gonna be a really fun time. Of course, this week starts championship week. In a college game, that's always fun. Your Ohio Valley Conference and Big South will be your first tournaments to kick off. Yeah, on the 6th, the Missouri Valley tournament is this week, the 7th, starting the 7th. The Atlantic Sun this week, Sun Belt, the Southern Conference, Horizon League, Northeast, the CAA, the West Coast Conference. How did that game end up last night? Actually, I did not finish watching that. St. Mary's
Gonzaga blew them out.
Gonzaga, wow! So no perfect conference year for St. Mary's.
Oh, but they did win the conference still, of course. But
Win the conference. Gonzaga's really come on. There was a some Point. Talk earlier in the year that they might have been on the bubble.
I think now the pretty much they ended the season hot. They're going to, I think, the tournament for what the read the. I'm not sure if it was a. No, when did it? It was at least the 20th year in a row that they've gone to the tournament or something. So, I mean, it's been an epic run against Gonzaga just with what they've done. I mean, they went from a mid-major was a cute story to, man, they're a powerhouse in ball. I'm sure we'll probably see that St. Mary's Gonzaga matchup again. That's some decent, a fun tournament, the West Coast Conference one. I like to watch it.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is absolutely a great one. You know, I don't know. Let's see. Looking here at. So it's looking like, you know, they'll be a two-bid league this year, but is San Francisco?
No. San Francisco has a decent, they have a decent record, but the thing.
They do.
I just don't know how strong they consider the conference.
Yeah, so I wonder if maybe they messed around and won that conference tournament if the West Coast would be a three-bid lead.
Because you would have to think that the two normal ones are in with St. Mary's and Gonzaga. But the Dons, yeah, they've had a heck of a season. They've actually had a couple of decent seasons in a row, but, I mean, 22-9, 11-5 in the West Coast, I don't know if that – Yeah, I think they probably have to win the whole thing for sure to get in. But
but yeah, we said some conference tournaments start this week. Other teams vying for bubble berths. It's that really fun time of college basketball.
Definitely is. You know, you really love it for the conference tournaments, especially for the little guys that the only way they get in is winning their conference tournaments. So, I mean, when they – you know, cutting down the nets and just what it means, because, I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a lot of these guys. You know, it's not very often, you know, they get that big spotlight on them, you know, just with the money in those programs and just, you know, a lot of them, you know, some of them you barely can even afford to get to the tournament. It's crazy, you know, at times when they, you know, when St. Peter's went on that run 2 years ago, just their stories of how they struggled to even be able to get to the, you know, tournament games. It's just, you know, just crazy. You know, some of those mid-majors and those smaller schools, just how fun it is. But then also the thing that, you know, of course, is just where we're at, and it always has been like that. You feel bad, though, for the, you know, the teams that win the regular season and then slip up somewhere in the tournament, and then they're kind of just out. Yeah. You know, they have nowhere to really go. So it's like almost like the regular season in some of these conferences really doesn't matter. You know? But yeah. It's kind of where it's
Elsewhere in the college hoops world, Caitlin Clark set the all-time NCAA record. This weekend, she passed Pistol Pete Maravich. I think I saw she's like 20 points away from the all-time college record. Someone in the AIAW that holds that.
So she'll have that in
Yeah, right. Next game. Congrats to her. Just a baller, a shooter, a scorer.
Epic career.
Yeah, she also announced this week that she's entering the WNBA draft, so she's probably your number one pick right there.
Yeah, you would have to think so. And, you know, that's an interesting thing, you know, as the college women's game has become so much more popular, you know, with her and Angel Reese and, you know, what South Carolina's been, you know, just getting a much more national, national appeal. It would be interesting to see if that has any effect of, if, you know, if that makes the WNBA more popular going forward, or if it'll still be the same old for the league.
So. Yeah, the bigger star power. The WNBA has at its best moments. That's what's really driven them, kind of like the NBA is. They've had massive stars. You know, your Deonna Taurasi's, Lisa Leslie's, Teresa Witherspoon's. You know,
Maya Moore more recently, of course, Candace Parker for a while. But I think that, you know, as far as the college women's game, you know, that's the thing that really is driving it, is because, you know, these players just, you know, there's you're not leaving after your freshman year. So, you know, us as fans, we get to know these folks because they're there 3 years, you know, they're there 3-4 years. So you know, the names that we see, you know, Caitlin Clark, they grow on you because you're seeing them 3-4 years. You know, I think that has really helped the women's game because it's really become much more of a national thing. Of course, you know, you get your ABC games, you get your national ESPN games. It's not as, regionalized as it once was. You know, for the longest, it was Tennessee, UConn, and people popped up every now and again, but it was nothing like what it's become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said. It's funny. It's something that, you know, 20 years ago when we were in school, you know, I used to tell people, oh, yeah, that was my kind of sexist thing. It's like women's basketball was boring. I didn't want to watch it. And the game has just made leaps and bounds in terms of excitement and exposure. Mm-hmm. And hope it continues, you know.
For sure.
Assuming we'll see Caitlin Clark in one of those three-point showdowns in the near future.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, meanwhile, while, you know, college hoops is doing good things, you know, college football, people are meeting for the playoff. There are talks of expanding it to 14 teams and the SEC and Big Ten each getting, yeah, already we haven't even had a 12-1 yet, 12-team one yet. Three automatic bids each for the Big Ten and SEC, two each for the AC, which, I mean, would they even play the conference title games in? Because what's the point?
That is the point. I know the Big Ten and the SEC were already lined it if their champions would be to get the buys automatically. I mean, probably going to would happen that way, but I'm like, man, is everybody else really going to be okay with that? Like, I don't I just
Yeah, and if they're not, is it just a case where the SEC and Big Ten just take some more teams? They, you know, cherry pick some teams from the conferences they want, and they just break off and do their own thing. Which none of us want,
right?
So yeah,
hopefully. I mean, a 14 team. I mean, I'm sure eventually we'll get there because I mean that's just what the world we live in. More football, mm-hmm. more money, you know. But man, we haven't even played a 12 to see what it's like, and we're already trying to expand again. It's like, chill out. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, let's just chill the fuck out. Sorry, getting distracted. Watch, I got this UAB Memphis game on in the background here, and UAB one is killing Memphis. They're up 18 at the end of the first half here. But saw a familiar sight, Javon Quinterly, of course, former Bammer. Transferred to Memphis this past year, mm-hmm. and he drove the lane only to get his shot rejected into the fifth row. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of Bama fans that don't miss that sight. I do miss that. You know, adding his guard play would, you know, maybe it would take away from Sears and Estrada to a degree, but, you know, a couple possessions later, he made a beautiful drive and a spin move to get away from a block. So, you know,
he's definitely a guy.
Here comes a three-pointer from the logo. Oh, just drained a three-pointer from the logo at the halftime buzzer.
But he's a guy that will frustrate the heck out of you, but then he'll do some stuff you'll be like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the JQ experience is all over.
But one thing is, you can never question that man's heart. He has a lot of it.
Absolutely not. But yeah, still a big deficit for the Tigers. They go in down 15. And what I'm thinking, probably a must-win game for both teams as they fight for some bubble berths themselves. Staying on the hardwood, moving to the NBA, kind of big story this week. LeBron James passing 40,000
points.
Insane. Another, you know, notch in his argument for, you know, best ever. Of course, we've talked about it on the show before. There's no wrong answer. If you're an MJ guy, you're probably right. If you're a LeBron guy, you're right. If you're an old school Bill Russell or something guy, you're right then too. You know, the different eras of the game.
This is where we're at. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely going to be opinions there. And it is kind of what it is. I mean, we're never going to, folks are never going to agree on that either. have, you know, the MJ LeBron, you know, there's the Kobe guys. I mean, it's fun to argue, but then no matter how you feel about LeBron, I mean, what his career has been exceptional. Just the pressure. You just think about the pressure when he came into the league of being the next guy that was going to get the next guy that was going to carry the league. I mean, if he had done what he did for 10 years, that would have been extraordinary. But he's on year 20. And, I mean, the Lakers are up and down. But, I mean, you know, the performance he had last night, I mean, he had a huge game. You know, at any night he could throw up 35 on you. I mean, it's crazy.
You mentioned it. It's the versatility and the longevity is the most impressive part of his career. By far.
And what slowed down for him is still, you know, we see, you know, he's not, of course, the same LeBron that he was, but you compare him to other guys at the end of their career, and they were nowhere, even stars, nowhere near what he is right now. It's crazy.
Elsewhere in the NBA, the Celtics today, 52-point win over Golden State. That's about all you can say for that. It's just,
Celtics playing good ball right now.
Yeah, far and away the best team in the East.
That they are. Yeah, they blew Cavs the other night. Friday night? Just obliterated us. We've been hot after going into the All-Star break in the start of the week, and now we've lost three in a row. And now we're in eighth in the West. Now we're somewhere you want to be right now. So, I mean, the West at the bottom is tight.
It is. Game and a half up on Golden State there for that
loss here and there, and you could drop four or five spots real quick.
Yeah, between the Pelicans in fifth and the Lakers in tenth, only 3.5 games separate all those teams, those six teams. So, but yeah, you're definitely trying to get above that play-in line, which right now Phoenix is in that sixth spot, a half a game ahead of Sacramento.
Because one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to play a Steph or a LeBron in a one game elimination thing if you're above them. You know, if you're the 7 or 8. And LeBron or Steph, I don't want to be in that. It's not what you want to be, a 7 and 8 seed.
If you're in that play and you want to be the 7 or 8, you want to win that first game, just get that 7 seed and take it home. You know, as of right now, Golden State and LA at least would play each other and knock one or the other out. But they're lurking, always lurking right there, yeah.
I would not want to be playing them on the final game of the regular season to determine who's going to be in the playoff, you know, get out there playing. That would not who you want to play against, Steph or LeBron, in a one-game elimination. Yikes.
Yeah, absolutely not. And speaking of teams, just kind of – we mentioned the logjam, you know. In the East, it's pretty we know Boston's going to be the one seed. You know, Cleveland and Milwaukee are going to be right behind them. And you got the Knicks, Sixers, Heat, Magic, Pacers all kind of right there fighting for that 4, 5, 6 seeds and then the first two play-in spots. And you got a little bit of a fight for the jumping in those last two play-ins. You got Chicago and the Hawks, the Nets, and a little bit the Raptors right there. They're far out, but they're still in it. In the West, though, Denver, winners of 6 in a row, 7 in the last 10, did it to the Lakers again the other night.
Man, they own the Lakers.
They do. It's crazy, and it just looks like one of those things where it's like they've decided, like, okay, it's time to get serious about this now. Which is bad news for the rest of the league.
Yeah, because, and the, yeah, they're right now. Denver's just that team until somebody beats them. There's really no reason to pick against them in a 7-game series. Till you see it actually happen, I'm not picking anybody over Denver.
They're just
who they are right now.
Yeah, as good as the Celtics have looked, like maybe they're coming out the East, but still, you don't pick against the champs when they're playing just as good as they did last year.
Beating them 4 games is going to be tough. If they're healthy, outside of injury, I just don't see anybody really beating them in a 7-game series. That's just tough.
No, yeah, it's not something that you expect to happen. Let's see, elsewhere around the world of sports this week. Unfortunate news today. Longtime ESPN NFL guy Chris Mortensen passed away. Guys in our age groups especially just grew up. He joined ESPN in 91, and if you watched anything they did on the NFL, he was
the guy.
Yeah, Chris Mortensen was the guy.
He was the original newsbreaker guy before Shefty.
Yeah, he was.
He was the go-to guy for everything NFL related, and it seemed like a real classy guy, good guy, and all around. Beat the throat cancer he had. But yeah, tough loss for the sports world for sure.
A guy who been around forever, wrote at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution back in the day before joining ESPN. Just great in the world of broadcasting and sports broadcasting. Elsewhere around the NFL, this combine week this week, Xavier Worthy broke the fastest ever 40 time at 4.21, just lightning quick. Barely beat out our boy Dallas Turner, just picking it up, putting him down the line. What was his, like a 4.46?
Just crazy.
And he was swerving a little bit. Could have shaved another tenth or two off if he'd stayed straight line. But
this whole he put up numbers.
Dallas Turner earned himself a few extra $1 million this week.
He's the first jump. Team not taking a quarterback. The first team that's looking at a defensive guy not taking a quarterback or one of the wide receivers, you would have to think Dallas Turner's your guy. Like he's
absolutely. It's hard to see him not being the first non-quarterback guy, also non-Marvin Harrison guy. Even then, I mean, it is a passing league. That's what would make me put Marvin Harrison Jr. over him. Is that you can't in the way the game is today pass up that kind of talent at receiver.
Possible generational talent,
But, Ellis Turner, I mean, you build your defenses around the edge guys and just,
And it seems like Atlanta seems to, a lot of stuff right now seems to be kind of the landing spot, but we'll see how that plays out because Atlanta's done some weird stuff in the draft.
It was franchise week. I think the only really notable one, T. Higgins got a franchise tag from the Bengals. They will at least play with that dynamic duo, a receiver, one more year, if not longer, if they work out a extension with them. Or maybe even a trade, who knows. And then, of course, everybody just prognosticating where top free agents are going to land. And until it happens, that's just kind of what it is.
All speculating. It's kind of like the draft. Everybody speculating has a thought about it, but we're all until it happens.
Spring training keeping on rolling for the major leagues. A little bit scaring Atlanta. Ronald Acuna's knee. He's being shut down for the rest of spring training. They don't expect him to be out for opening day, but they are going to get further evaluations on the knee. It's never anything you want to play with. It's the same knee he tore his ACL in. Coming off his monster MVP year last year, the Braves definitely want him full strength.
For sure. Because, I mean, that's the thing, man, with the baseball season, man. Well, first, just with how long the season is, of course, you shut it down. But, you know, just those injuries that just can change your whole season. So you hate to see a star, you know, get hurt, especially that early in the year. So hopefully everything's good there, because, I mean, he's just so fun to watch, whether you're a Braves fan or not. I mean, he's just one of those players you love to watch, because he's going to give you something good every night.
Yeah. Elsewhere in baseball, Matt Chapman, one of the few remaining big name free agents, signed with the Giants this week. The third baseman, Gold Glover, good deal for them. So you still got you're a few guys that are still free. Blake Snell. Let's see, who is it? It's Blake Snell, I think Montgomery, maybe a couple of guys still out there.
Mm-hmm. I'm shocked Snell's still out there, honestly.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just something with his, I guess, what he's looking for. Or, you know, the reigning Cy Young winner. It's kind of it's crazy. You know, but they'll obviously get snatched up before opening day.
For sure.
But yeah, other than that, trying to think, don't really think anything huge in the world of sports this week.
Not too much. I mean, I will say it's crazy. OU's the softball team streak ended today. Louisiana beat them, and that's 71 right. Winning streak came to an end. That's just crazy.
Yeah, absolutely insane. 71. We've talked at length before about the dynasty that is Oklahoma softball and how they deserve more recognition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but their first loss in 71 games in Norman, too. So, I mean, that's for the Louisiana team. I mean, that's an epic win for that program. But you still think when it comes down to it and in June there in Oklahoma City, you'd be shocked if the Sooners are right where they have been for what seems like five years now. I mean, they just run through everything. So, probably the biggest home field advantage ever. They're playing in Oklahoma City. But
Yeah, right. That'd be like if Nebraska had a powerhouse baseball program or something, or Creighton. Creighton's based in Omaha, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in Omaha.
Yeah, okay, there you go. So I guess that should do it. I did talk last week, mentioned floating some crazy ideas at Greg, see what he thinks about sports world. I figure maybe we could actually save those for maybe the summertime or something when there's only baseball to talk about.
Yeah. There will be a couple of spots in June and July where we don't have a whole lot going on.
Yeah. So I'll save those for episodes when we're done talking after 20 minutes and don't have anything. But right now our clock reads 42. That's a good episode. For this time of year. Looking ahead, like we said, it's the last week of the regular season and college hoops on the men's side. Conference tournaments starting for some of the smaller leagues, and then starting for everyone, I think, on the women's side of things.
Yeah, the women's tournaments will kick off this week. And, you know, talking about the women's game, South Carolina, another perfect regular season, second straight in a row. I mean, that's crazy in itself, especially with how good the SEC is as a women's conference. So, you know, you'd be shocked if they don't do what they've done for quite another epic run for them. I saw the Alabama women won a 10. Excuse me, beat A&M today. Their first 10-win SEC season since like 97, 98. So,
oh, wow.
That's kind of big for the women's. You know, they just – biggest thing with them is they're just in that right below the powerhouses, but they're not on the powerhouses level. You know, they're not on the LA, North Carolina level. But overall, very solid program from what they had been for quite some time. So.
No, yeah, they're the 4 seed in the SEC tournament, so they'll get that double bye. They play the winner of Tennessee versus the winner of the Georgia-Kentucky game. So,
nice.
Yeah, so yeah, maybe
2 weeks ago. So
that's good. Yeah, so maybe a couple of tourney teams. You know, Alabama basketball really looking up. Haven't really paid attention, honestly, about the baseball or softball teams just yet.
I know the baseball team is so undefeated. They beat Arizona. Yeah, I'm not sure what they did today. They might still be playing, honestly. My biggest concern with the softball team, they've only lost one game this year so far, but same thing has been with the last couple of seasons. They don't know how to put up points.
Yeah, got to score runs. So that's it's tough, yeah, if you can't do that. Looking at, I was going back, finding the Alabama women right now are projected as a 9 seed.
Nice. Which, yeah, you don't like that only because, you know, you look at who you're probably playing. And that one on that one line, and they're a solid team, but not on that one level.
If this were to ring true, they would have to play Stanford if they won their first game. So,
stranger things have happened, but yeah.
But yeah, like I said, so we're looking forward to a great week of college hoops all around. We'll see, like I said, if anything steps up in the NFL offseason, which I believe free agency officially starts tomorrow, doesn't it?
It does. That'd be fun. Fun season. Because I'm sure. And of course, all the draft talk will really pick up now that it's been going, but now that the combine is over, you know, we'll get all our continued coverage there. Of course, the big thing, of course, is the quarterbacks. But overall, I mean, it's a lot of – I'd say if you're looking for a wide receiver, this is the year – to get a good, there's a lot of talented wide receivers out there. Even if you don't necessarily have to get them in the first round, but this is a deep wide receiver class if you need wide receivers.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the free agent side, I'll be interested. What I'm really, particularly as a Ravens fan, but just in general, that the running back market is very interesting this year. Yeah. You got Derrick Henry, of course, out there. Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Josh Jacobs led the league in rushing 2 seasons ago. Had off year last year, but I think had some injuries, and you know he did hold out of camp in the preseason. That's a huge name out there. Of course, you know, a lot of talk that the Ravens are going to get one of those guys. You know, of course, love to see Derrick Henry or Josh Jacobs. Derrick Henry's getting up there, but he hasn't fallen off that cliff yet. You know, was second in the league last year.
He still has some talent. I mean,
well, and an offense on a roster like the Ravens too, because they'll, you know, Keaton Mitchell, they're superstar undrafted free agent last year. You know, he'll probably be out a few weeks into the season. He's coming off the ACL injury.
Right.
Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, both free agents. Maybe they bring back one of them. Justice Hill's there. Derrick Henry doesn't have to be
the workhorse.
yeah, that 25 carry a game guy in Baltimore. Now, granted, he is one of those guys that kind of feeds on, you know, more carries, but he can adjust his game and really be that bruising closer that offense.
Especially, I mean, you look at it too. I mean, if you have put him on the goal line package.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you're a defender and you have to look at the backfield and make a choice between, you know, if they're doing zone reads between Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, that's frightening. But all that said, even some part of me, man, if the price is right, Josh Jacobs in that and some purple and black, his all around talent, he's got that power. He runs angry. He's got speed. He's a weapon in the passing game if teams would just use him. He's just one of those guys. I feel like the NFL offenses, they don't use him right. Yeah.
I mean, he's built for what the NFL is wanting to do with running backs these days. So, yeah, it's just a matter of him in the right system that they're creating up to put him in the right spots. But he definitely can be a versatile guy.
Yeah, and then Saquon Barkley is another name that's thrown out there. A lot of people kind of fantasizing him and Lamar in the same backfield, which, again, for the right price, yeah, come on. Memphis making a run to start the second.
Big run there. 18-0 run. Jesus, 3 minutes.
Wow. Yeah, and 3 minutes, 20 seconds into the second half. You've already scored 18 points.
And I mean, that's a, you know, but the biggest thing, of course, that Saquon, of course, is his health. You know? I mean, he was healthy this past year, but, you know, overall, that's been his biggest downfall. And you hate it for him because when he plays, he's a hell of a running back. But, you know what is his durability level at? But then if you have one of the better franchises get him, I mean, obviously, you know, like a Ravens or, you know, if anybody else is in that market, they don't necessarily have him to be the workhorse, so that could open up things for him and, you know, better chance of staying healthy. So, it will be interesting to see. But the big thing, like you said, is just where they are with the contracts, because, of course, we know how the league currently feels about running backs and paying them. So, that'll be the big thing. Like, if they don't, if he doesn't get the money he's looking for, you know, would Derrick Henry retire? Who knows?
And then that's not even mentioning other names, you know, Austin Eckler, Tony Pollard, DeAndre Swift, Zach Moss.
Automats.
There's possibilities that guys like Nick Chubb and Alvin Kamara are salary cap cuts, you know.
That's crazy to think about. Those guys, just a salary. I mean, there's a lot of talented backs out there. It's just weird. Because everybody's going that cheap route and feel like they could draft the next guy and you know, give them the cheap rookie deal. You know, it works out for some, but it's a risk.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about it before. Like, we get it. It's not the day when you draft a running back number one and you pay him, $100 million contract. Those days just aren't – the league's not there anymore, but – one, just being, on the player side as we are, we want to see those guys get paid. You know, it sucks to get drafted, play your rookie contract. Ooh, UAB coach. Who's that? Andy Kennedy? Oh. Is that who's coaching him now? He is hot.
Hot.
Players having to hold him back. Oh, man.
He just pushed his own coach out there. Oh, Lord.
Oh, man.
Ah. What in the world?
He is.
And he's usually a pretty
level-headed guy, yeah. Maybe he's trying to get his team fired up. Did he get the boot?
Yeah, he definitely got the boot.
Oh, man. If you're I guess we're not live, so I can't tell you to tune in to the UAB Memphis game. But hopefully you have watched that by the time you listen to us.
Know what we're talking about.
Yeah. So that'll do it for us this week. We'll see you again next week, I believe. I say that, and then I got questions. See, I'm not doing any weird 10th. No, yeah, okay. I had like some vision. It's like, wait a minute. I thought I was going to be somewhere. I'm not. I'll be here. We'll be here to talk to you. Thank you once again for listening. Do subscribe. Give us good ratings. Tell your friends. Tell your rich friends about us. Check out all of the podcasts on the Alabama Take family of podcasts. You can find them all at thealabamatake.com, along with anywhere you get your podcast. And keep it done up real good out there yourselves this week. Did my whole spiel. We didn't do done up real good for us. Greg, what's been done up real good for you this week?
And I would probably say the weather. I mean, we had a very mild February for the most part here in Nebraska. You don't ever know what you're going to get. We had a lot of days in the 60s. We started March in the 70s, so I can't complain. Loving the weather. How about you?
Yeah, probably the same thing. I might have said that even last week, but no, it's no more. I think we're out of the nights where it dips into the 30s. You hope, anyway. Yeah, it's just been nice springtime here in Birmingham. And then I'll say, as much as I obviously love my wife and my son, they are out of town for a couple of nights, so I get some uninterrupted, just nice alone time sleep for the next couple nights. So, hey, you know what? As always, done it real good. Little man woke us up at about 5:45 this morning. So, you know, it's nice to
early,
just get a little reprieve, you know.
For sure. That's the funniest thing about being an adult. You know, once you have kids, when you get those nights, whether you're with your wife, by yourself, and you think, oh, we're going to do this, this, and this, and you end up watching TV and falling asleep by like 9. We've become those guys.
Yep. Have become, yeah. So now you can go back and listen to my spiel that I just said before. I'm not going to repeat it. You guys know the deal.
You know the deal.
Keep it done up real good, everybody out there. Greg, take it easy, buddy.
Yep.